for more. They are looking for more. U.S. Foods, a leader in the food service industry, and they are growing. So a minimum of 1 year commercial driving experience required. 6 months food service or food beverage delivery experience is required. And U.S. Foods is there for you, offering a competitive compensation and benefits package, including medical, dental, vision, pension, 401k plans. Apply online at usfoods.com. U.S. Foods is an equal opportunity employer. And the kid kicking for Miami literally missed the screen. That is the worst field goal attempt from in close. That's like 38 yards out. That is a piss-poor attempt from a Division I kicker. That is disgraceful. You get that kick and you make it 26-10 with a minute 42 and a half, and watch Winston lead them down the field now. He is disgusting. Back to the phones we go. He is like public enemy number 1, 2, and 3, as Chip is next with us. Chip, hello.
What's going on, Tony?
Hey, Chip, welcome. Thank you for calling tonight.
Yeah, I may have to join that U.S. Foods team and quit changing oil for a living. You know what I mean?
There you go, brother.
Olivia wanted me to tell you hi, too, by the way. So,
Chip, I love you. The Shipleys and the Gleasons are great people. Thank you for sponsoring my daily show and for what you do each day at Jiffy Lube. In fact, I had my oil change at the Broadway Jiffy Lube 2 days ago. And you know what the guy said to me? You know what the guy told me, Chip? You haven't been here in a year, Tony. 6,000 miles, Tony. He said, are you trying to seize your engine, Tony?
Hey, Chip, can y'all put a no battery in his car as well? Yeah, we can do that. We can handle that.
Thank you.
I promise.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment about that Randolph play. That quarterback probably hadn't slid all year. And he dropped pretty quick. I mean, he, as far as Randolph, he could have been planting his feet to make a move. And I just thought it was sad that he got ejected. I mean, he plowed him, and I loved it. But I just think he got a raw deal just a little bit based upon the way that quarterback plays.
You know, I would like to agree with you, but the spirit of the rule is that they're trying to protect those guys. And by the letter of the law, that's a targeting, and he's out by the letter of the law. But I understand what you're saying. It is the way that kid plays.
40. You know, he's not a little. He's not my size out there running around. So I don't know. It just troubled me to think that the guy can almost. It was almost like it was a setup, I guess, from the way I saw it. So.
I'm going to have to say I disagree with you there, but
okay.
Since you are a sponsor. You make a great point in the process.
Yeah. Maybe I like to see the other team get smacked too. That whole game was really chippy the way they were picking at each other. It was as much our guys as it was theirs. And I almost think I remember it being that way last year too. There was a lot of after the play action.
Yep.
Every play.
It's the battle for the beer barrel. And by the way, I think it's time, The beer barrel, that's a fun tradition.
Bring it back.
Mm-hmm. Bring it back, the beer barrel.
Yeah, I had a beer barrel to myself tonight. So,
I didn't want to say anything, Chip, but you sound, shall we say, you sound a little, what's the word, well-oiled.
Well, there we go. I'm a well-oiled machine tonight, that's for sure. Well, I tell you what, you guys have a good one. I appreciate you all taking my call.
And I appreciate you being there. And, boy, I really like him. Bino, tell the listening audience, listening in their cars, traveling back, counting on us tonight to keep them abreast of what's going on. What just happened in the Miami game?
Jameis Winston threw yet another interception. Miami catching it at their own 3-yard line. So,
Bino, he will go pro at the end of this season. And I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole if I was an NFL football team because he's not an NFL quarterback. That guy will get swallowed alive in NFL football.
Not only that, Tony, there's no way that you could depend on him to behave himself and make your investment worth your while.
That's absolutely correct. 865-200. 866-205-5402 is our number. Again, 865-200-5402. For our Twitterati tonight, you can tweet me at Tony Basilio. I want to welcome Chase Cardwell, who's in studio tonight. One of my son's young friends helping us out tonight. Anthony helping us screen calls. He's in for Matt Nelson, who left at the fourth quarter of the Florida game and never returned. Matt threw the clipboard down. Sweet Heather Cox over there doing an interview. You know, Heather's like an old woman out there compared to a lot of these girls. Dubs, have you noticed how they've gone to the platinum blonde Barbie doll on the sidelines from coast to coast? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, it's an eye candy.
It's what they're doing. They make no bones about it.
They want the pretty girls out yep. there.
And then there's Leslie Visser.
More power to them.
And then there's Leslie Visser, who started it all, who literally looks like somebody carved her out of wax.
Didn't Tony Kornheiser get disciplined for what?
Well, he said that
she
he's...
Like she was encased in...
No, that was Hannah Storm. Leslie Visser... Pull that element. There you go. Leslie Visser looks like, literally, she's from Vincent Price's House of Wax.
Yeah. She's had some work done.
Work? She's had excavation done. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Reed Carringer of RTI Rocky Top Insider coming up here momentarily. He'll join the fray. Get another call in here with Bino, and then I'm going to bid him a good night. Don, hello and welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Donnie.
Well, another just tremendous afternoon. It's hard to even put it in perspective. But while you're on the woman thing and the eye candy, just remember Phyllis George started it out.
She did. Phyllis George. Don, an oldie but a goodie.
And they're all playing catch-up to Jill Arrington.
No, Phyllis George was a beautifully elegant, beautiful woman.
Governor's wife.
Governor's wife. You got it, brother.
Yeah, she was the star. I mean, she kept old poor old Brent Musburger when he was at CBS. His tongue really wagging. But, guys, I've been in and out on you. I've had a few phone calls. But, you know, obviously... Our big defensive end is just unbelievable. Our quarterback and running back, super. Somebody may have already given him some props tonight, but how about number 13, Emmanuel Mosley, tonight?
Yeah, we had somebody on Twitter earlier mention him. Wow, what a future he has here, huh? What a future.
A couple of tremendous plays tonight, Don. The play on the halfback pass was terrific, just the makeup speed that he had on that and the play in the end zone. Excellent. Both of those plays, huge.
Yeah, I mean, he that was a touchdown if he don't get his hand in there in the end zone. He's going to be what everybody, you know, was talking about at the first camp, I believe. You get him and Sutton on those corners and get that safety issue. I hate to get TK out there the way we got him out there tonight. I'm not that scared of Matty Mount passing, but I don't like losing one of our starting safeties next week. What do you think there, Bino? What's your take on that?
Well, it never helps when a guy like Randolph, when one of your key safeties is out. That's a real, really tough position to lose someone. But I believe that Missouri is a notch below all three offenses that we've played in the last 3 weeks. I was really pleased that we held Kentucky to one touchdown tonight.
Yeah, you know, what's going to be weird is he's going to miss the first half, Brian is. Probably Crowder's going to miss, period. And so next week we're going to start the game with the play callers, basically, and alignment people on both sides of the ball on the bench. That's just weird that could happen. But, I just can't, every time I watch Dobbs play, I can see the things the coaches might have been concerned about. I've seen him miss some open receivers and this and that. golly. I don't know how you miss how he can change your offense. While we waited until an injury forced the issue to just mix it in. I'm not saying he shouldn't have started. I'm not saying he should have started. But y'all mentioned, Tony, you mentioned before, like the Florida game. Things is not going well. It ain't working. Would it have hurt to run him out there for a series or two?
You know what, Don? I just don't want to live in that, but I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
And you know, I never pull for OSOS, but I have to say that.
That was funny.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
I mean, for him to punch old Muschamp in the face, I mean, I know that might mean Florida goes out and gets a real
cut. Yeah, that's right.
But at the same time, just going online and and going to their message boards, and it's just a lot of fun. You know, we've had our misery. It's a lot of fun to listen to the Floridas and the Kentuckys of the world and their miseries.
I would love to see them go through 5 years like we went through, Don, and then see what their stadium looks like in that sixth year. You think they would have four sellouts in a season like this, Don, down at Florida? Are you out of your mind?
They weren't even selling out at the end of the Meyer era.
They suck. And let me tell you something about their basketball crowd. They have a gym that's 10,000 less seats than ours, and they never fill their gym, and they compete for national championships there. That place makes me sick. You talk about a bunch of people who don't deserve it.
Yeah. I mean, you just,
Thank you, Donnie. You're telling the truth.
Hey, guys, one real quick thing.
Yes, sir.
Baylor going to pass TCU in the.
Baylor will pass them. It's going to be interesting. Thank you, Don. And who would have thought that Bryce Petty may get a chance to play in the first national championship, a guy that we just jettisoned. We didn't want him here. Bino, give me a couple final thoughts here on the way out. It's always great to spend part of my Tennessee Saturday night and my Smart Way Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction with you, brother.
Hey, Tony, I always appreciate the opportunity to be on here with you and Dubsy and all the callers. It's nice to celebrate. We haven't had enough nights of celebration. We've done this for 2 years, but we've had two in a row here. And I really believe that one day we'll look back at the last 4 minutes of the South Carolina game and say, that's the day that our program started in a different direction. And I think that they carried it through tonight. So just a nice night of celebration and a football team going in the right direction and playing really well.
You know, you're my numbers guy here on the way out. Yesterday a caller called in and said, what would you set the over-under number at for yards rushing for Jalen Hurd? Do you remember what I said?
I believe, Tony, that you said that he would, if he rushed for 110 to 115, you would feel really, really good about the outcome. I believe that I remember you saying that.
He had, listen to this, he had 118 yards rushing tonight. 4.9 yards per carry, touchdown, one touchdown, a long of 14. Sean St. Clair told me that he received fluids this morning and was playing with a high fever. A cat was out there tonight with a fever in that cold weather. Wow. That's a tough guy.
Well,
that's a tough
he
guy.
He sure made Kentucky sick along the way. I know that.
Thank you, Bino.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
That's Bino. He's got more one-liners.
The Beanster.
He's got more lines than Abe Vigoda, as the Beastie Boys once said. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in the hunt, in the mix with us tonight, we'd love to hear from you. All lines are currently jammed, as they will stay throughout. On your Smart Way, Dalton Bearing fifth quarter fan reaction. As I tell you, this is really exciting, absolutely exciting right now. Drew asking, was North intentionally held out of most of the game due to a shoulder? Drew, the answer to that is yes. He's been banged up. He's been nicked up. The decision was made earlier in the week that they were going to try to get through this game because they didn't feel like they needed him. And guess what?
Makes sense. They did it.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. If you want to get with us tonight on the program, we'd love to hear from you. Let's bring Reed Carringer in now. RockyTopInsider.com. You've seen his work, FootballTimeInTennessee.com, for years. You've also seen his photography work. His stuff that they have on their site is incredible. He stays away from John Cave Osborne as much as possible. And the Volunteers tonight are now one victory away from bowl eligibility. And we believe that will occur next week with the Missouri Tigers in here. Missouri now deadlocked at 13 with Texas A&M, who Missouri has come back with 10 unanswered, 11:47 to play in the third quarter there in that game. Let me, without further ado, bring Reed Carringer in here. Reed, how you doing this evening?
Hey, doing fantastic, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
It's always great to spend a few minutes with you. First thoughts on Kentucky, on the win today for Tennessee.
Well, it was just a beat down. And I thought this would be a comfortable win for Tennessee. I thought that point spread, I think it ends up being about 11 at the time of kickoff, was too low, but didn't see Tennessee winning 50-16. It'd been a while. We talked about it some this week, Tony. It's been a while since Tennessee had just run up the score on Kentucky. Really since the 90s. They scored 50, I believe, in the 07 multi-overtime game. But it's been a long time since Tennessee hung 50. And I think you saw that this Tennessee team is just a much different team than the one we've seen the last year and a half with Josh Dobbs, the quarterback. And I think you saw tonight, too, that the ball defense, a lot of their problems were they needed to get rest, and I thought they came out and actually played pretty well for much of the night. They looked like the faster unit and kind of got back to what they had done all year, and helped that Kentucky didn't have an Amari Cooper or Pharaoh Cooper, but I think the ball defense took some good strides tonight as well.
865-200-5402. Matty Mock to Darius White for 16 yards. That game is tied. What about my assertion tonight? We've been talking about how Tennessee's turned the corner. There's just no doubt. This is a different football program than it was 2 weeks ago, even.
It is. No, there's no doubt. And you've got Joshua Dobbs to thank for that more than anything. He's made this whole team just completely different. You're seeing the offense has new life. I think we talked about the defense. The defense stepped up in big moments tonight, and it's a different team, Tony. It's unreal, honestly, the numbers that Dobbs has put up. I know we talked about him before that we thought he turned a corner in practice a while ago. I don't think any of us expected him to have this kind of performance. He's averaging through three games, Tony, 360 total yards of offense. That would lead the SEC if he qualified. His numbers he's put up so far, 360 total, like I said, yards a game is what he's averaging through three. He's got 11 touchdowns through three games. All those numbers, if you project him out to a full season, put him up there with among the best quarterback performances in the history of the league. That's just at the high level that he's playing right now. It's unbelievable.
The champ, ladies and gentlemen, Reed Carringer is joining us. He's the champ. As we get ready to go back to our phones, 865-200-5402. Grab our next call tonight on the program. Earl's in Bucksnort, followed by Harmon. Harmon, I'm coming to you next. Earl, hello.
Hey, Tony, won't keep you long on here, man. I know you've got some good calls coming through here, but you know, I got two little zingers, not near as good as Obino there, but I'll tell you what, Kentucky started out, boss, how many games did they win start out the season? Wasn't it four or five?
Yeah, they at one point, they were off to a 5-1 start, I believe.
Yeah, you know, they've fallen off like Jose Canseco's finger, just all of a sudden, bud.
Like Jose Canseco's what?
Like his finger. It fell off in that poker game. You not see that on TV there, Tony?
Thought he shot it off, didn't he?
He sure did, and that thing fell off in a poker game last night. I haven't been reading TMZ. My God, if Tony Vasilio heard this, he'll be using this all week.
I haven't been reading TMZ lately. I'm sorry. When you lose a finger in a poker game, that means you might have a compulsion there.
It's what we call high stakes.
Well, I tell you what, it wouldn't be the first time we warned about that guy since a home run bounced off his head. He ain't never been the same at it, Tony.
Well, you know, the The thing about it is my mind immediately thought of, it's a good thing he wasn't playing strip poker.
Interesting, as you would say that. Hey, one thing, we talk about having a fullback back there a time or two, and I couldn't help but think last night when he was on the basketball call in there, and I meant to ask you then, I'm glad I waited. Sure to goodness, old the big Gulf Bears got a son we could recruit for the fullback, surely. Have a good day.
Thank you. What is he talking about? Go ahead, Reed. Handle that.
I'm not sure what he's talking about. What, fullback? are we talking fullback?
I think we need somebody to translate that.
Thank you, Earl. I appreciate you listening tonight. Thank you, man. By the way, Texas A&M just cashed in on a slant in cold conditions.
Looks like a lot of fun at Kyle Field tonight.
No question. These two teams are going to trade some scores here in the second half because that's bad footing out there. And so A&M now on top of, with Reynolds, the reception. They are up 20-13 now, 10.5 to play third quarter there. Back to the phones we go. Harmon is next with us. Harmon, hello and welcome to the Smart Way Dalton Berry and Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, hello, Tony. This is for you and Reed both. I'm going to do a little change of pace here. We've been given a lot of praise and everything to our ball players. We have some good ball players over. But let's talk about coaches for a minute. They've only been here 2 years. Our head coach is only making $2-3 million a year. Our assistants are not making that much money. It's about time that we give them another 2-year extension. Let's raise them up quite a bit, because every school that's going to be looking for a coach is going to be coming for Butch. You got Michigan out there. You're going to have Florida. You're going to have a bunch of other schools out in the West End that are going to be needing coaches, and a lot of them have more money than we do. So let's give Butch and company, they've used 2 years of their contract. Let's extend them 2 or 3 more years, because we've already seen what they can do and what they will do. We've got a good defense this year, but if you look at the boys that they've got recruited, they've got 2 of the top defensive tackles in the country, 2 of the top defensive ends in the country. They got a running back coming out of JCO that everybody in the country wanted 2 years ago. We have 2 boys that are coming in for quarterbacking, and the boy from Tennessee and the boy from Texas. We have 4 offensive linemen coming. They've rebuilt this program. We don't have to depend on freshmen to come in next year, and we can take and get some depth that we really need. These coaches have done an unbelievable job at a place that was so low down that we were really lower than Vanderbilt.
Hey, Harmon, I'm sold. These guys have done an insane job, okay? Absolutely insane job. Reed, are you ready to start throwing raises around? Because if Mitch Barnhart was here, Butch Jones would be making about $7 million next year based on the way they're paying their coach, because he's going to make as much as Butch Jones next year, the coach of Kentucky, is, and he's not going to make a bowl game. So, Reed, your thoughts on Harmon's sentiments here.
Well, I mean, I think Dave Hart, if Tennessee really does win out, they get 7-5, they get back to a bowl game. Even if you win that bowl game, you're looking at 8 wins. Tony, that's the best year in the program since 2000 when the Vols won 10. So I think Butch Jones would be in line for a raise, and even if I didn't, I think Dave Hart would give him one, and that's really all that matters. So I do think, depending on how Tennessee finishes out, he's going to have a kind of a redone contract, and I wouldn't be surprised. Like you said, if a couple other schools come calling, especially with Tennessee's turnaround here, and if they can knock off Missouri next week and keep that momentum rolling. So I think that's certainly in line. I think along the right lines, and I know Dave Hart's got a lot to worry about right now, but I imagine he's keeping Butch Jones' contract in the forefront of his mind.
I was really surprised, and I know it upset some people that Dave Hart played, and I know he fashions himself as kind of this real tough guy, Harmon, but he played hardball with Tommy Thigpen last year, and that really didn't make sense to me. Because to me, the guy I'm rewarding in my organization, I'll just tell you this, in the world I live in, top salesman makes the most money. Top salesman in many organizations makes more than general managers do, makes more than managers do. Reason being, because without him, you don't have any capital. You don't have anything to play with. And these recruiting aces now, boy, I'm going to tell you something. These guys are extremely valuable. This Thigpen guy is valuable on this staff.
Unreal. He's unreal, Tony. I tell you, he could walk into any house in the country and be welcome.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Tony, have a great, beautiful night and a good weekend. And let's push the balls on in the Missouri game and see if we can finish this season at 8-5.
Harmon, thank you. It'd be unbelievable. Again. And Johnny Majors hates when I use the term unbelievable, but Coach Majors, it'll be unbelievable to win 8 games. I got news for you, brother. By the way, Texas A&M on top of Missouri 20-13, inside 9 now, and the clock rolling in the third quarter, and the conditions there are going from bad to worse. That looks like that game is going to finish in some brutal,
it's one of these games
brutal conditions.
Uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, really. Because you know that crowd, and there's a guy listening to us tonight. Check in with us, sir, if you want to. Alan and Norris says, we do not need to extend Butch at this time. He says, I disagree with Harmon. His beginning contract was long already.
If they go 7-5 and win a bowl game, he's getting a raise and an extension.
Guess he is.
That's not
that's
saying
the way
it's right
business
or wrong,
is done.
Yeah, that's just how it is.
Well, how about this? The guy at Kentucky, the AD at Kentucky,
could not
wait to throw money at that coach. Let's go worship the guy.
The next big win Mark Stoops has will be his first.
Did you see, Reed, who they've beaten coming into this week?
Oh, they were. That didn't beat anybody. I mean, they beat South Carolina at home in a game. They were trailed 21 in the fourth quarter. And then they beat Vanderbilt, and that's it. They played an abysmal schedule. And that's a team that everybody nationally, even some Vol fans, thought, wow, that Kentucky team, they're way ahead of where Tennessee was. They just haven't played anybody yet. They weren't playing Oklahoma. They weren't even playing Utah State or Arkansas State like Tennessee did to open the season. So you're seeing Kentucky's true colors right now. I felt that timing of that raise for Stoops was curious. Kind of an understatement, Tony. But, they are not a very good football team. And I don't think they're going to beat Louisville either. Like you said, I don't think they're going to go bowling after starting 5-1. And that's an epic collapse down the stretch.
Russell Hansbrough takes it in from 49 yards out. And Missouri, pending the extra point, about to tie Texas A&M at 20, and as I said, with those field conditions, you can just see it. These two teams are about to trade shots there. I hate to show you the breath of knowledge as I drop it on you tonight here. By the way, Russell Smith from 90. Russell, help me out here.
I don't know either. 94.3.
Thank you.
Weekdays, 3 to 6.
Russell, I know Knox Talk Radio. I got my app. You know, I've moved on, bro. You know what I mean? I listen to Reed in the morning, from 10 to 11. Reed's bridging the gap between Swainy and myself. And Swainy, by the way, did not answer the bell this week. I think Swainy has heat with me right now. Reed, what do you think?
Uh-oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, he had a kid this week.
That's exactly what happened.
Congratulations.
Swainy had a baby.
His second daughter was born, I think it was Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. So he's been out of the, not doing a show, been out of it a little bit, as you can understand.
God, I am such a clod for not knowing that. But yeah.
He's keeping it quiet. He doesn't like attention, as you know. He's keeping it quiet, but I think mom and baby are doing well.
I want to say that when you start looking at that Kentucky program after tonight with what they have left for the rest of the season, The face of their program is Leslie Visser. Back to the phones we go. Reed, is that really immature of me to make fun of her really, really horrendous-looking work? Because I am really uncomfortable with it. I don't know why. Why don't women just let themselves age gracefully? Look at me. I am so unbelievably good-looking in my middle age.
It's like these coaches.
I haven't seen a picture of Leslie Visser in a while.
OMG, dude. OMG is all I got to say.
I like these coaches who have to tidy up their hair dye jobs in the middle of the season.
Donnie Tindall had a little makeup on last night. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
He was pancaking it on.
Yeah, I think Donnie Tindall just needs to go and embrace his natural beauty.
I love him. I think he can coach. I hope he can weather the storm. I don't know if he can or not. I love that guy. Back to the phones we go. 865-200.
I saw Tony Barnhart today on halftime of the
now, he looks like the Undertaker.
Hey, even Dave Hart is over there going, man, that's way too much hair dye. You need to back it off a little bit.
Tony Barnhart is morphing into the Undertaker. As I get ready to go back to the phones.
He's Mr. College Football, though.
He is Mr. Self-Appointed, which I think is great when you give yourself a nickname. Bill is next with us. I'm calling Carringer the champ now. How you like those apples?
Nobody wants to mess with Reed Carringer.
Absolutely not. He's the champ.
I don't think that's true.
Let's go back to the phones and grab Bill, who will join us. The next guy that calls Carringer out will be the last. Bill, hello.
How's it going, Tony?
Hey, Bill, welcome.
I know you're not a call-in score show, but what's going on in that Auburn-Georgia game? I'm away from the TV.
Auburn is absolutely getting blown out 27-7 now. Georgia with the lead, and they are running on that team early and often.
Why did the wheels fall off that machine there, Tony?
That's wild, isn't it? 27 unanswered points for Georgia in that football game.
At that A&M game, it just seemed like the wheels falling off down there. I don't know what's going on.
Absolutely. I would say that's absolutely right. In fact, in tonight's game, Gurley has, are you ready for this? 127 yards on 27 attempts. Chubb has followed that up. 15 carries, 120 yards.
That's a pretty good average.
Wow.
Tony, my two Heisman favorites before tonight, I don't think much of the Heisman anymore, but I thought Gurley may be the best player in the country and that quarterback at Mississippi State, but I think tonight he may have heard his chance to win the Heisman. So, I wanted to ask you about that Florida State game. I think they played the weirdest games I've ever seen. It's like they don't play in the first half, and all of a sudden they come back and try to win the game in the last 5 minutes. It's the weirdest team I've ever seen.
I would agree with that.
They shaving points?
I don't know about that. It's just they play a strange game. I've just never seen anything like it.
They don't look like a championship team. They do all the things. They're like an anti-Saban team. Saban would literally be in the hospital. His blood pressure would be so high if he was looking at this game film and it belonged to him.
Tony, so many good things happened to us today. The defense, I was really proud of the defense keeping Kentucky's score down. I think the Chiefs held them to three down there in the bayou, but they scored a lot of points down in Florida, and Florida has a pretty good defense, and we were able to keep them down tonight, too. I know they're at the end of the road this season. Like you said, they may be gassed, but it was good to see our defense come back after a week's rest there.
I want to say that I totally agree with you. Our defense looked rejuvenated tonight. And, Reed, what did you make tonight of the way we got tons of pressure on Kentucky's quarterback? I mean, tons of pressure.
Well, they came into this game one of the worst. I think they're second to last in the SEC in sacks allowed. So it's been a struggle for them all year, and it's a game that I really expected Derek Barnett and Kirkwood just to shine, and they did. Barnett, I think, four more tackles for loss, a couple sacks. Kirkwood had a couple of sacks. He's really, really come on here down the stretch. So I think some of that was just Kentucky. That's one of their weaknesses. They're known that if you blitz them, that's how you beat them. Tolles doesn't do a good job. I think he's a good quarterback, but he doesn't do a good job of keeping his eyes down the field when teams blitz. He just kind of focuses on the blitz and can't keep focus on what he needs to be focused on, and that's the receivers running his routes. So Tennessee had a good game plan, and they took advantage of Kentucky's weaknesses. Now use some of those speed and fast rushers off the edge like Kurt Majid and Derek Barnett and really influence the game. This Missouri game next week is going to be a different story. They don't give up a ton of sacks. Their offense isn't very good, but they don't they do protect the quarterback, and their defense is actually, I think, a little bit underrated.
Anything else for us tonight, Bill, on the way out?
I just hope Missouri doesn't hit their stride against us. Seems like every team does. They play the best game they've ever played against us. But I want to beat Missouri. I don't think they should be in our conference. I didn't want them in. I wanted Virginia Tech instead of them. I didn't want Arkansas either. But I hope we I'd rather have Georgia Tech back in the SEC. Like the old days.
Well, not going to happen, man. But I'll tell you what, Georgia would never let it happen.
I'd love to have Tech back.
You know who we should have gotten, but we won't because we're capitulating to television markets is West Virginia. They would be perfect for the Southeastern Conference.
You didn't think about that. Tony, that's a good point.
Thank you.
I just want to beat them. I don't like them. I don't like the fact they're in a conference. And 2 years ago, I thought we should have beat them last year. They had a number, but I just want to beat them. I don't
yeah.
like them. This was the game I've been looking for all season. This game, the Florida game.
There you go, man. Well, the Florida. I hope it turns out better than the Florida game, Bill. Good gosh.
Be great to get our sixth win against them. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you. Reed, is it fair for people to bring the whole Dobbs thing up, that he wasn't playing earlier in the year? Is that because that's going to be the narrative? That is, for a lot of people, that is the narrative. And I try to tell people, and certainly did not see what you saw. You're there, and the documentation that you have on your website speaks to a guy who really struggled back in the summer. But, Reed, people don't want to hear that. They do not want to hear that.
No, they don't, and I mean, I understand it, because if you haven't gotten to see that, then that's the first question you ask is, hey, guy's really good, why wouldn't he play it? But, you know, we've gone to practice, went to fall camp, and just saw him, struggle, and we're not talking about, him playing like he played last year, struggle. Way, way, way worse than that. Just something was going on with his mechanics. Butch brought it up on Monday. When he said that, you know, he still needs to be more consistent with his mechanics, and that's, you're still seeing him, Tony. When he misses high. And that's what we saw, for the first few months of the season, and fall camp included, he was just missing high on simple routes. And we're talking not live drills, no defense on the field, just can't complete passes to wide receivers, and all started clicking around Florida week. I can see why they didn't play him then, because you have Worley coming off a good game. After that, as bad as Worley looked, you know, then maybe they should have reevaluated and played him against UTC. But you play him against Ole Miss, you play him against Alabama the whole game, people argue with me, but I think those are still both losses for Tennessee, so your record's about the same.
You beat Florida.
You would beat Florida if you played him. I think you beat Florida if you play him five snaps in that game, Tony. And that's one area, if you want to critique coaching staff for how they handled him, it's, hey, maybe – should have used him situationally all year and taken some pressure off Worley in short yardage situations, put him back there, give him, it's obviously a threat with his legs, changes the way defenses react and defend. So if you want to criticize the staff, I think that's perfectly okay. And maybe you say, hey, maybe he wasn't ready to run an offense. Maybe he couldn't complete passes consistently, but you could have used him situationally. I think the staff's reticence to do that was based on the fact they saw the kind of potential that he has and that he's showing right now. So they didn't want to waste him just for a few snaps a game, waste a year of eligibility for him. At least that's kind of what I've heard. So, but I thought that if you thought he was going to be the guy at all this year, you should have worked him in earlier. But he didn't look like that guy to start the season.
Reed Carringer, he's with RTI, RockyTopInsider.com. Russell Smith, KnoxTalkRadio.com. My name's Tony Basilio. Let's go back to the phones tonight on this Smartway Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction victory celebration. Tennessee blows Kentucky out of Neyland Stadium, cold frigid Neyland Stadium, which was sold out tonight, packed to the gills with Tennessee fans, 50-16. To the phones we go. And by the way, Matt Crowder injured in tonight's game, and it'll be a while before we know anything. Reed, have you had any preliminary word on what we can expect there?
It did not look good from the field. And usually, Butch, this is how he handles injuries. Usually, when they're not bad, he'll kind of say, oh, he's dealing with a something. He'll just kind of say that. When it's bad, he won't really elaborate. He'll say, we'll know more tomorrow or the next day. And he'll kind of string that out. So just my hunch is it's not good on Crowder. It took him a while to get up. Just watched on the sidelines. I don't think. Just initial, and I could be way wrong. Sometimes it's always worse than sometimes it's worse than it appears on the field, and sometimes it's not near as bad. So we'll see. My hunch is he will not play next Saturday, and judging based on how Butch reacted too, he's super. he speaks in code, I think, when he's talking about injuries. But
he's a trip, man. He's a trip.
It's not good on Crowder, and we'll let you know something tomorrow, which tomorrow never comes, Tony.
Back to our phones we go. Duke Johnson up. Boy, that is a great sight for Miami fans.
Also, looks like a couple of running back injuries. It sounds like Todd Gurley has gotten hurt in Georgia and Auburn's game, and we haven't seen it here in the studio, Tony, but from judging from Twitter, there are a couple people saying it doesn't look good.
Oh, boy. I hate to hear that. Back to the phones we go. Hate to see anybody get hurt. Again, I go back to that kid at VCU last night. That scared the living daylights out of me. Magnum, hello and welcome.
Hello, Tony.
Hey, man, welcome. Hey, can I get you to speak up? We're having trouble hearing you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go right ahead.
All right. You were talking about West Virginia, Tony. It does make no sense why we have Texas A&M and the SEC and West Virginia's in the Big 12. That makes no sense.
It's called money, 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 man. And that's that's what makes this college football world go round. You look at these leagues and how there's no geographical integrity. And I had that commissioner of the Southeastern Conference look me in the eye this summer and tell me that that's geographical integrity, having A&M in this league. And I'm thinking to myself, why? Because they're in the contiguous 48 states. Is that the if that means geographical integrity? Let's go add Nevada. I mean, what in the world does that mean? Geographical integrity.
Well, they've got, you know, Louisiana borders Texas, so now they're in Texas.
Good gosh!
Which means the next step is obviously bringing New Mexico in.
Thank you.
And eventually
you're going to have L.A. the L.A. market
just creeping westward.
Yes.
Well, but speaking of, you know, L.A. and West Coast teams, another caller brought up some of those teams might be coming after Butch. That's the downside of us turning the corner and doing a little better. Everyone gets scared. Everyone's scared now that anytime we have a coach that's doing well, he's going to leave. And I just don't think we need to worry about that yet. But talking about Dobbs, I think the coaching staff, I think they're going to keep him as the starter, don't you?
Yeah, maybe. you think he gets named? What do you think, Reed? Think he's named our starter?
I think Dobbs could win the Heisman and National Championship if Butch Jones would name him the starter.
But, and talking about his struggles in the summer, do you think that maybe with this offense, you know, if the defense, they see that every day, this offense is kind of built on some of the things he's doing that are good are because, you know, you can a little misdirection, you know, a little bit of element of surprise with some of it, with him keeping the ball. The defense kind of know what he's going to do in practice.
I hear you, man. I think that one of the reasons he is doing well and this offense is so tough to defend right now is, like you said, the deception. And you've got to defend a lot of different plays with him back there and a lot of different lanes where you could just pin your ears back before with Worley and just get after the quarterback. But I mean, we're talking about just him not being able to complete passes defense isn't even on the field. They're on the other field, the defense, the defensive field over there. I just working on drills themselves, and he just was not able to complete passes. I think he's always been pretty good in live situations. If you saw the open practice, you know, yeah, he did some good things. Still struggled with his accuracy there, struggled with his accuracy in scrimmages, but always had the ability to make some plays. It's just, I don't think they could trust him to just consistently complete passes. And you got to be able to do that. I mean, well, Tom today only had 10 carries. And he had, I believe, 27 pass attempts. So that's more of the ratio they need from him. They don't need him running 20 times a game.
Yeah, and the way he looked last year, he didn't look like a very good passer at all.
Right.
And, I mean, the guy, if he can continue to improve into next year and become a better passer, he's a pretty, he'd be a pretty good weapon back there. But looking at it now, that Florida loss just still, I can't get over it.
Well, you're going to have to, you know, you are going to have to.
But I do hope that they keep the same coach down there.
Don't think that's going to happen. There maybe was an outside chance if they would have won the division, although I still think, Foley would have acted on him, but I don't think Muschamp is gonna live to tell.
Well, they could have won the division and gone 7-6 for the season. I mean,
how great would that have been?
That's how much I was pulling for that, because I love just comedy like that, Tony. And Foley is looking at the record. The record matters, not how bad your division is in comparison to you.
Well, not only the record, but the number of people not coming to games. The amount of horrible emails I'm sure he's getting from the booster types, I'm sure it's a complete nightmare in Jeremy Foley's world right now.
Oh, and those fans down there, they think they've got all this tradition, and they're such a, they've been historically this good, and I mean they've been good for about 25 years. And they should have been. I mean, there's no reason they shouldn't be good.
Oh, that no! Come on, man. Thank you, Magnum. With the right, I appreciate the call. Thank you. With the right coach, there, that's a scary, scary deal. What we have to hope. Here's what I hope. Because the job's going to open, Russell. What are you calling through over there, Russell? Like you're deep in thought.
I'm just
more Ella Dorsey.
I'm looking at Twitter, man. Stop it.
When you start macking on a local weathercaster, Shepard.
What are you talking about, dude?
Let's go back to our phones.
Happily married man, what are you trying to stir
I'm
here?
Sorry. Reed, it's not like me to try to stir anything up, is it?
Yeah, no, not at all.
Interesting. Nor would you, Reed, ever stir anything up.
No, never, Tony. I'm
always on your best behavior.
I just swim with the other salmon, Tony. Upstream.
Back to the phones we go. What is Jameis Winston doing tonight, Russell? What is his deal here?
Oh, he'll turn it on. They're only down 13 points. I mean, this is all part of the heel act that is Florida State. They're gonna
it is wrestling.
Magic sleeve at the
it is
at
wrestling.
The end
it
run in
is
there and just break your heart. Earl Hebner's gonna run in the quick count and it's just gonna make it hurt that much more.
Back to the phones, Reed. I got a couple questions for you on personnel here, but let's go to the phones and grab another caller. David's been hanging on for us for a while. David, hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way. Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey guys, I was hoping you might be able to help me figure out what your opinion is on this Final Four. If Miami hangs on and beats Florida State, another couple of interesting scores is Arkansas's hammering LSU right now, 10-0 going into the fourth quarter. Georgia's hammering Auburn. The big one I see is TCU barely squeaking it out against Kansas. So I think the biggest winner of the day coming out of here is Mississippi State in their loss to Auburn, or to Alabama. What do you guys think?
What do you think? And I appreciate the call, David. Thank you. What do you think, Reed?
Yeah, it's hard to see a one loss, especially Mississippi State team that was down so big early and then fought back against Bama, had a chance to win that game. A one loss Mississippi State team behind TCU right now. It's tough to see that. But we also don't know what the committee's thinking. I mean, they've not been the most consistent so far since they started releasing their rankings. But if you're asking me, Mississippi State's in my Final Four right now, and so is Alabama.
It's going to be really, really, really screwy at the end of this thing. It can't help but be really screwy. And whoever the five and six teams are, those fan bases are going to scream to absolute high heaven. And you know the networks, Reed, want this Florida State team in because they're going to be great box office. Now, they are completely disgraceful. They are disgraceful, Reed, in every way, shape, and form. They play disgracefully. They behave disgracefully. Jameis Winston is disgracefully dislikable. There's a lot of things that are disgraceful about them, but they are going to be huge box office if they get in.
I bet you, Tony, I've watched more Florida State games this year than anybody else. And for that reason, they're just so easy to pull against. You talk about disgraceful. I saw a great tweet earlier, Tony, that this game's really important for Florida State because it gives all their players alibis. I think that about sums it up.
Interesting. Florida State's flirting with disaster here, though, without Molly Hatchett. They are down on the 8-yard line, third and goal here, and Jameis Winston just throws a ball that goes through the hands of his intended receiver. He actually threw a good ball there. By the way, if you want to get in with us, our phone lines are wide open for you. Finally, 3 hours and 15 minutes later, as Rocky Top Insider just posted 5 observations from tonight's Tennessee-Kentucky, a ball game that really was not as indicative in terms of being one-sided, Reed, as the score, because it was worse than 50-16. Tennessee took the foot off the gas tonight.
No, heck, it could have been 70-16. I mean, they did. They took the foot off the gas. Three quarters of football, 50 points. They could have scored a ton more. Kudos to Jones for doing that. I'm not sure I would have, but that was a bludgeoning. Tennessee could have named their score. Like, it looked like Alabama was going to be able to do against the Vols the other day, or 2 weeks ago. But that offense, Tony, I really think this offense is on to something special. I think we'll see next week really what they're made of against a pretty good Missouri squad. But I think that Tennessee offense is something special in the making right now.
Give me the 5 observations, Reed, on the way out.
Pulling them up right now, my good colleague Houston Crest.
All right, let's see if we agree. Let's see if we agree with these. One of them is Astro Dobbs.
Absolutely.
He just continues to go. Run Hurd, who goes out there with a fever tonight, takes liquids before the game and throws up 118 yards on 24 carries. He continues to come. He says the defense is back and breaking Barnett. Derek Barnett is very good at the game of American football. The true freshman defensive end added another 7 tackles, 2 sacks, and 4 TFLs to his season totals against the Wildcats. He sits at 9 sacks and 18 tackles for loss on the season, which is more than either Jadeveon Clowney or Robert Kimdichie had during their freshman seasons. Barnett currently trails A&M freshman Miles Garrett for the all-time record for sacks by a true freshman in the SEC, but not for long. Garrett sits at 11 in 2014, but is missing this weekend's game. So Barnett now is what, 2 behind him? Is that right?
Yeah, that's accurate. 2 behind him, and he's going to have a chance to catch him. He really is. His tackle for loss numbers, 18, Tony, 18 in one season. That's unheard of. And his 9 sacks, Tony, that's the most by a Vol defensive lineman since Paris Harrelson in 2005. Also had 9.
So good night. Good night. Wow. Wow.
A decade, and he's going to best those numbers as well.
And Russell, before we get to the final observation, share with the listener how Miami just scored, or how Florida State just scored, rather.
I guess it was third and goal, 7 or 8 yard line. Winston throws a pass over the middle. Miami defender gets a hand on it. Would have been a tough interception, but he bats it up into the air, and Carlos Williams, the running back, pure luck, just in the right spot.
Caught it like it was an over the shoulder on the run and walked in for the touchdown.
That's why you don't pick against Florida State.
It is the most, you talk about disturbing. I'm ready to take Florida State and beat them with a sledgehammer. With a sledgehammer, I say, young man. Third down for what is back, the final observation tonight at RockyTopInsider.com. After struggling mightily on third down against Alabama and South Carolina, the Tennessee defense got back on track with the Wildcats. Kentucky just 3 of 14 tonight on third down, while Tennessee was converting at a rather stellar clip offensively. So, all in all, not a bad night, man. Not a bad night, as Missouri has gone on top of A&M now, 34-20, as they were flurrying on A&M. Reed, what do you make of the Missouri game next week? Will Tennessee be favored in this building? 7:30 kickoff next weekend.
I don't think they'll be favored.
I don't either.
I really don't. That's a game that I could see being 3-4-ish Missouri, maybe closer to pick them. That's the game, Tony, that I've been worried about, even since Dobbs got back in and kind of brought this offense live against Alabama. Their defense is so underrated. Their offense, it's not good, but they do have weapons if they ever put it together. And if we've learned anything about Tennessee athletics, odds are they'll put it together next weekend and really give the ball to Tupper.
I don't know about their defense being underrated. I saw that defense give up about 300 yards rushing to Indiana. Georgia just ran roughshod all of them. I mean, they're a hard team to get a read on. I do wonder, Texas A&M's currently ranked number 24 in the country. If Mizzou pulls this off, they improve to 8-2. They could be ranked coming in here.
Plus, their goal for the year, winning the division, it will be out of reach after Georgia wins tonight.
24th, Missouri's total, 24th nationally in total defense, just FYI.
And they do rush the passer as well. That's another thing
they
do well.
Terrible. Thank you, Reed, for contradicting me.
Just throwing that out there. Shane Ray, Missouri defensive lineman.
He's a great player.
SEC in tackles for loss of 16 headed into this weekend.
Yeah, he's a great player.
They got another couple of good ones, too. Marcus Golden there in the middle. 9 tackles for loss. Both those guys near the top in the SEC in sacks as well. So, Vol offensive line is going to be up for a challenge. If you want to kind of hang your hat on something positive, though, last year, first start on the road, Josh Dobbs did put up over 280 yards of offense on that team, and that team was a lot better last year. So I think he will give them lots of trouble.
Dylan Wiseman is going to have his hands full next week. And, you know, you're already a little handicapped on the outside at tackle. It's going to be curious to see what they do with their offensive line this week. Do you think that they'll do any shuffling at all, or is Wiseman going to be the center?
I think if Crowder can't go, then Wiseman's your center. And yeah, honestly, I don't know if there's a huge drop-off there, Tony. I don't.
Interesting. Very interesting.
You'll see him move the tackle, or you'll move the pocket, do those run-out throws that are kind of option passes for Dobbs that they showed quite a bit today. And that'll help neutralize some of that, because they can't just pin their ears back and come after him. And yeah, I haven't seen enough from Wiseman in practice. I know he looked pretty daggum good last year, so if he's anywhere near where he was, he's been banged up a little bit, then last year, I think he'll play pretty well if he has to take the starting job.
How about Arkansas grinding out their first SEC win under Bielema? They're up 17-0 in the fourth quarter. Brian Hartman reports that with 11 minutes to play in the game, LSU has a grand total of 73 yards total offense.
Wow. You know what I'm going to do tonight, guys? I'm going to nestle in and bake me a few cookies. You got to be kidding me. Get on the... Lost my cool. I just hit the dump button on myself. I don't want to seem that unprofessional. For those that will listen back for the replay tomorrow, you just missed my rant. Hey, Reed, really appreciate your time. Appreciate your input today and everything that you do over at RTI. Thank you for helping us cap a great day here. A lot of fun, man, spending a few minutes with you.
Hey, I love it. Look forward to it every week, Tony, and it's fun to talk about some wins.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about one in hoops. We're going to talk about one in hoops on Thursday night, brother.
Texas Southern coming in here, 7 o'clock tip, Fox Sports Net, I believe, if you can't make it out to the Tommy Bowl.
Yep, and we'll be talking about it as soon as it's over. Thank you. Great talk.